WRN. The Pulse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Monday Pulse. I haven't got my usual entourage with me today. I've still got the lovely Rebecca, who's here.
Hello.
But I've got someone... Unfortunately, Izzy and Ali aren't here today, but I've been graced by the presence of someone that equals both, if not more than them.
Easily, I would say.
Welcome, Joe Banks.
Hello, Joe Banks is here. I love the Pulse.
I love news.
I do love news as well.
He doesn't love news. So today, we're going to be discussing the autumn statement on Thursday that the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt is going to make about the spending cuts. Now, we know this because he's been speaking to the Sunday papers over the weekend, and he's essentially, as is common now, he's set out his position to ease the public into it because it's not looking good. There will be spending cuts of up to $35 billion and plans to raise about $20 billion in tax, and is going to affect a lot of people's lives and most likely not for the better. We're going to go to our first article, which is by the BBC, titled Jeremy Hunt, Everyone Will Have to Pay More Tax. Joe Banks, I'm going to come to you and ask your opinions about the tax rise. Do you agree with it? Do you think it's the correct solution?
I mean, it's a solution. The problem is we don't just want to see a tax rise and then have the money generated through that spent on the wrong areas, which, you know... It sounds obvious, but given our previous budgets and tax hikes, it's not really gone that way.
So. Yes, because the alternative idea was what Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng did, which was obviously an unmitigated disaster, in the idea that they went the other way and they cut taxes, which, as we all remember, because everyone listens to Pulse every week, that it was an absolute disaster. And led to her both of their resignations. Now, there are still some people in the Tory party that argue that tax cuts are the right thing to do in this circumstance. The distinguished figures, such as Ian Duncan Smith, would argue that tax rises would lead to a deeper recession. Rebecca, why do you think some Tory politicians are still trying to push tax cuts, even though we saw a month ago that they... ruined the economy to the point that we're now having to definitely go into austerity where there was some leeway before the last mini budget?
My presumption would be to appeal to the people who are voting, that they're loyal voters in for the Conservative Party. That would be my assumption there. I think the Conservative Party is having sort of a bit of a moment really with its sort of we know that it's deeply, deeply unpopular now. Like the approval ratings have gone down massively. I think the Conservative Party is trying to balance. It's like trying to work out where its direction is. What does it stand for? I mean, I think particularly also after the pandemic, and there was all that spending of things, which was directly in contradiction to sort of conservative values. I think they're sort of seeming a bit lost. So I think it's an attempt to really like engage with their normal base, really, regardless of what they're. Economic implications will be.
And that scene with Jeremy Hunt's interview with Sky News that he did, where he actually, you know, when he originally got into power under Rishi Sunak, so he was appointed by Liz Truss and then reappointed by Rishi Sunak, he really laid into Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng and their mini budget. And now actually he's sort of backtracking on that and said, oh, you know, they intended to do the right thing. Maybe trying to still appeal to that base, because now that things have stabilised, because previously our pollsters had been like, oh, there's a new Chancellor, there's a new Prime Minister. Now things are appearing to stabilise. They are now starting to think about the next election. I would argue that it's definitely lost for the Conservatives, but they're just trying to save face at this point and really try and appeal to their core base who believe in things like tax cuts during a recession. And that is what it is. It is, the Bank of England is predicting a recession. We have already had one quarter of negative growth, of 0.2% negative growth, and you only need one more quarter to equal a recession. Now, the last time, I'm sure any of us will remember the recession, we were all very young. Joe, what was your experiences of the last recession?
I genuinely can't remember it. I mean, yeah. It never personally affected me particularly much, so I never really had a first-hand account of it. I just remember hearing we're in a recession. I was like, oh dear.
As like a 5-year-old,
yeah,
sort of generally in the background. But obviously it impacted the politics so much of the 2010s, what with austerity.
Mm.
And now it feels strange to say that we're only, what, maybe 5 years out of five, 6 years out of austerity, and we're already going back to it. And it hurt a lot of people last time, particularly in social care. And though Jeremy Hunt has been arguing that the NHS will be protected, however, keep the system's already broken in the NHS, as all the listeners may be well aware of, whether trying to get a GP appointment takes about a month these days, which is simply not good enough for most people. The issue is with the what that Jeremy Hunt is arguing is that the NHS is already broken, so it needs more money, yet we're going into a period of spending cuts. So, Rebecca, I'm alluding here to the fact that the nurses have voted to go on strike. They haven't set a date yet, but it is forthcoming. It's the first time they've ever voted to strike in England and Wales. There's also going to be strikes across Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Do you think it's the right thing to do to cut across the board and then protect the NHS, even considering that protecting the NHS may not actually help them in any respect?
I mean, I think my concern is that some of the money, like I'm worried that you know they're not going to be spending anything on like the public services as is said. And I think the strikes are inevitable. I think that there should be more investment into the NHS. I think even if you didn't raise nurses' wages, at the very least, if you improved conditions, I think there would be less calls for improved wages, because people would be able to sort of, I mean, obviously if you can't afford to live, which is effectively what's being said, is that basically the nurse's wage at the moment does not, at least in London, doesn't match up with the cost of living at all. Like, you literally just can't afford to live.
Yes, and with the spiking inflation at the moment, I think it's almost in double figures now. I think something like 9.7% the last time I checked.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, nurses can't afford to feed their children, which is not the state of the country that we should be living in.
No, I think also the problem is as well, is because we've had so much austerity towards it, like with the NHS over so many years, how do you even go around like fixing that? You know, the working conditions, that this is what consistently people say, is that it's not just the fact that, you know, they can't afford to live, it's also the fact that the job in of itself has become so much more challenging, increasingly so over years. We obviously saw the whole issue with the pandemic as well, which just added a whole new layer of complexity. I think it's really hard now to go back and fix that. I think there should be more investment into the NHS, and if anybody's wages should be raised, and I do think there is a solid argument for it to be nurses. I don't think we're going to see wages across the board raised because of the whole inflation thing. I just don't see that happening, but I do hope that maybe there should be more investment into the public services, because I think more than ever people are going to be reliant on them now.
I completely agree with your argument, but unfortunately the state of the country is that Jeremy Hunt says the only way to, well, he alluded to himself being Scrooge and he doesn't want Christmas cancelled,
yeah,
is that there will be cuts across the board in the public sector. In the article, they noted Labour's response, which was headed by Rachel Reeves, who's the Shadow Chancellor. I say this because a lot of people aren't aware of who the Shadow Cabinet is at the moment. People are just beginning to learn Keir Starmer's name. So Rachel Reeves, if you actually ever listen to her, seems very competent, which is an exciting divergence from the previous Conservative cabinets we've had. She says that Labour, if they get into power, would have no plans to raise income tax or national insurance. They argue that they could improve the situation by closing loopholes in the tax system. Now, like a lot of things that Labour have been talking about recently, they haven't been very specific at all. They've just made general, like, they sound quite nice, their policies, you know, but to an extent of perhaps this is the problem I always have with Labour, is the idea always sounds nice, but there's no details, there's no structure about how this will be implemented, no real facts and figures. They say there are loopholes in the tax system, yet just say that the wealth, they don't, they say, oh, there are gaps for the wealthy, yet the way arguably you'd fix the loopholes for the wealthy is by making them pay more tax, but they say they're not going to raise tax. I'm a bit confused about how they would close the loopholes in the tax system purely because they are not, Labour has not outlined that in detail.
Yeah, talking to Sky, the Shadow Chancellor kept reeling off figures along the lines of the 7 million waiting for operations, and you know, teachers' classes sizes are doubling and they're having to fund basics out of their own pocket, but the only solution proposed was putting forward a plan for growth, which isn't really, you know, the hard actual plan that we need right now.
And I'm just going to finish on a final point before we go to our break, is I'm sorry for bringing it up, but the B word, Brexit. I'm really sorry, everyone. But there was an interesting line that Hunt, as I referenced earlier, has sort of tried to appeal back to the core Tory base, perhaps in anticipation for the election. We don't precisely know the date, but the latest date it could be is January 2025. And he argues that COVID has prevented the opportunities that Brexit could have provided. Rebecca, what do you think about that? Because, well, I personally don't agree with it, but I'd like to hear other people's opinions.
Oh, gosh. The opportunities that Brexit could have provided. I mean, I don't think there are any opportunities particularly that Brexit could have provided. I have a very cynical view about Brexit. I don't know. I think it's increasingly becoming harder to, like, I don't understand how anybody really defends the decision now as well. I think the pandemic allowed for some obfuscating of, like, problems with Brexit, of like, oh no, actually it's just a problem with the pandemic, you know, or like it's the European, like there were lots of like sort of scapegoating really. But yeah, I think that has negatively impacted our economy. We've just had a lot of really poor decisions and this is now where we are at.
I know, it is quite disappointing. Joe, do you think with the Brexit idea, do you think that's even a discussion we need to be having anymore, or do you think it's just the fact that the Tory party is still obsessed with the idea of Brexit and this is again another appeal to their base?
The Tories are definitely obsessed with it and will, you know, they will keep bringing it up in party political matters for years to come, but there is like a fairly undeniable side to it where, you know, the governor of the Bank of England is saying that it's their belief as well that problems we're having now are still Brexit related, the situation with the economy.